You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I really prayed and asked God how to deliver the message. I want it to be such a help to you as it's been a help to me. We're 13 months into COVID. I know God has worked marvelously in my own life. I know I've grown in the Lord. I know I trust Him more. Whatever happens, I know it's filtered through the hand of an almighty God. I'm not angry with our county. I'm not angry with life. I'm not angry with COVID. You know, in these 13 months, so many times, God has been so real to me. Like never before in my life. I feel like I'm so close. It's almost like I could touch Him. Like He's all there in my presence. I'm in His presence. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. I've spent many nights awake, not nervous or frustrated. I spend time with the Lord. And it's been such a wonderful, wonderful journey. Now, I'm reluctant to preach to you on this subject tonight. And I won't be as transparent as I want to be. I've had the very lowest moments of my life in the last 13 months. Satan has been so real. He has warred against me on every front. He tries this angle and this angle and this device and this device, and it's real. You say, well, I don't have a problem with Satan. Well, if you're God's child, He's going to war against you. He's going to fight. That's why there's so many casualties. And even through COVID, there's been so many casualties. Churches nationwide, worldwide. Satan's real. I'm reminded of those days when I'd hear over 40 years ago, Lester Roloff saying, once again, I faced Satan this morning and I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements. Sundown, I sang victory song. Oh, the sun's coming up in the morning. And you know, the devil's real. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I think sometimes we think we resist the devil and he will flee. And that's true. That's Bible. James tells us to resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And he does flee, but he comes back. I read of Martin Luther 500 years ago, the founder of the Lutheran Church. And he would battle with Satan after his salvation. He was a Roman Catholic priest, read the book of Romans and got saved reading on the subject of justification, that a church cannot justify you and a pope cannot justify you and Mother Mary cannot justify you, but Jesus alone can justify you. And he got saved and in time married a nun who was in the Catholic Church, and he began the Lutheran Church, and he nailed his thesis to the door of the church at Wittenberg, 95-point thesis, how that God is the answer. But I read of Luther, and he said, you know, and I don't experience it this way, but he said this, the devil tormented me so much that one day he came knocking at my door and said, I'm not going to answer it. But he said, one day I answered it, and I said, Jesus Christ resides here. Get thee behind me, Satan. And he said, he never bothered me after that. Well, I don't know about all that. Maybe that's some writer just writing, but he bothers me quite often. He's constantly warring against my soul. And he's tried every avenue in my life. Maybe he's done the same for you. Job chapter 1, our scripture tonight. Verse 6, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan, there he's found the first time, 14 times in these first two chapters. Satan came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like to him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? And the Bible said, verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that is in he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. My Bible says that he says in verse 20 and 21, after all the trials, he lost his 10 children, and he lost his possessions, and he lost his wealth. And his verse 21, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them and presented himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my soul? Considered Job. And the Bible says, Satan in verse 4, Satan in verse 6, and Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord in verse number 7. Then he gave boils to the sole of the foot, to the crown. He took his possessions. He took his lands. He took his children. And now he begins to touch the life of Job. And Job sat down with a posture, scraped himself. It's like a piece of hardened clay, and it scraped his body with those awful boils. And then his wife joins in. And his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain that integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did Job sin, did not sin with his lips. The chapter, the 42 chapters in this book, take a time period of about a year. And Job went through every heartache and every imaginable test, to the point where he also got so discouraged, he said, I curse the day I was born. God, kill me. I don't want to live. Tonight, I want to remind you this morning, I spoke about Jesus and life. Tonight, I speak about Satan and death. On this Easter, I'm glad we have chosen life. But that one called Satan, he's called Lucifer. He's called the dragon. He's called the adversary. He's called the serpent. He's called the wicked one. This one called Satan is out to devour and destroy you. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's why if the Lord tarries 5 years from now, many in this auditorium, this great crowd tonight, will not be in the house of God. You'll deny the faith. You'll walk away from the faith. You'll criticize the faith. You'll criticize Christianity. It's all a hoax. There's no such thing. I don't need it. I don't want it. Because the devil's going to get you. The devil's real. I don't walk around biting my nails and afraid of the devil. He's a defeated foe. Recently, and I won't tell you how recent, he kept me up all night. He fought against me all night. I'm talking about all night. Normally, I wouldn't say something like this to my wife, but she asked me the next morning, how'd you sleep? I said, slept 20 minutes. She said, what was the problem? I said, I was in battle with the devil all night long. I was resisting him. I was fighting against him. And I said, I did not get victory to this morning. Do you know that, may I say this? I resisted him. I fought against him. And yes, he did flee. But it was a battle. It was a war. The next night was the same thing. He came at the night hour and began to attack on my mind and my heart and my emotions and my health and every part of my body. He just began to work on me. He's been so active in my life in this last year. He is a real foe. He is out to destroy. And the more you want to do for God, the more he's going to fight against you. I heard these boys, five boys singing here today. We're proud of those boys, grew up here, love the Lord here. I thank God for them. They'll be out traveling and preaching and singing all summer long in a singing group. But I want to tell you something. I believe God's hands on those boys' life as well. So many of our other boys here in the school and girls as well. But I'll tell you what, the more God's going to use them, the more the devil's going to rise up and fight against them. I want to put confidence in God. I want to war against my enemy. The devil, I look at the devil, I look at Satan, Jesus this morning, Satan tonight. I look at Jesus' life. I look at the devil. He is death. Jesus is light and the devil is darkness. Jesus is truth and the devil's a liar. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, who is a liar from the beginning. Jesus is peace and the devil is anarchy. Jesus is family and the devil is a re-identification of what a family unit is all about. Jesus is righteous and the devil is wicked. Yes, Jesus is heaven and the devil is hell. There is a battle today. And I want to speak about that battle tonight. I tell you from the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul, I was reading it this week, he was talking about the great open door. And yet he said, there are many adversaries. You young high school boys at a pastor church one day, you young junior high boys at a pastor church, God is going to open up so many great doors for you. Great doors of opportunity. But there's always going to be many adversaries. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. The Bible speaks about the fact that we're to put on the whole armor of God. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You may stand and as you wrestle against the wicked one, the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places. The devil hates you tonight, child of God. He hates the men of God in this country and around the globe. He is going to put every weapon he can against them. Personally, I've known some of the greatest blessings of my life this past year, but I've had some of the lowest moments in my life this past year. I've faced Satan and he's worked against me. Perhaps it's because of Revelation 12:12. The Bible says he knoweth, but he hath but a short time. His season is about up. One of the groups was singing about that. I think it was that, the trump of God and all that. And of course we'll be entered into heaven and that day's coming soon. And I believe we'll see him very, very soon. Maybe today my Lord will come. I don't know when. But I want you to know that tonight there is a warfare. You're in a battle. This is not a recreation field. It's a battlefield, brother. And by the grace of God, I want God to win. In my Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, for we are not ignorant of his devices. As we stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6:11, as we stand against his cunning ways, the Bible also says, let's not be ignorant of his devices, his traps. He wants to trap you. There are so many ways we could talk about how he traps. But tonight from the word of God, I want you to know that number one, it seems like he'll always choose doubt. He'll cause you to doubt. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 3, he began immediately with Adam and Eve. And he came to Adam and he came to Eve in that perfect environment and he began his work. And the Bible said, he said, hath God said, hath God really said this, Adam? You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree. Did God say that? Did God say that? Adam said, yes, he did. But he did not. Adam fell for the trap of the devil. He put doubt. Some of you young boys that sit before me tonight, God's going to call around these tents. God's going to call you to preach. And the devil's going to war against you to the point that one night after a year of the ministry or 5 years in the ministry or longer, He's going to put doubt. I wonder if I missed the call of God. I wonder if I should not have not been this or done this or done this. I don't even know if I should even be a pastor. And he'll put doubt in your mind. God forbid, but some of you will have doubt that he places there about your marriage partner. Is he really the right one? Is she really? And you've been married 10 years. If that doubt is the devil, whatever you have doubt when you've done something spiritual, it is always the devil. Never remove in doubt what God developed through faith. And oh, how important it is that we realize that he'll always work in doubt. I recall when we were building that building and we hit so many obstacles, and it seems like every building we built, we hit obstacles. And I began to doubt. And I said, oh my, I wonder if we should have done it. I wonder if it should have been smaller. I wonder if we should have held off. I wonder if we should not have done it. I wonder if we should have waited till another day, a different time. I wonder if, and the old devil would put doubt in my mind. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad we built that building. I'm glad that the people of God had courage enough to press on, though I never told you about the doubt that was in my church, in my heart. Churches are filled with people of doubt. The Jews were people of unbelief. They didn't believe God could do this again. God's people in the book of Luke, he had already fed 5,000, and now a short time later, they forgot about the 5,000, and he was supposed to only feed 4,000. They wondered if he could do it. That's doubt. That's doubt. I've watched so many Christians think, see, doubt. Doubt. Pastor preaches about modest to prayer. I have doubt with that. I redefine it a different way. I have doubt that an old-fashioned Bible-believing preaching church is the right way. I have doubt with that. I have doubt with the music that we sing around here. I think we could sing a little bit more up-to-date modern music. I doubt, and the devil will come. Well, he'll come and he'll get you to doubt, and doubt is one of those ways. It's a trap. I see, secondly, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, he uses deception. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan will come and he'll use deception. He always makes sin look so attractive. Alcohol always looks so attractive. Drugs always look so attractive. A strange woman looks always so attractive. But God shows us the end result of that. When you're in the hog pen with the pigs eating the husk, you see, the world doesn't show you the drunkard living on the street. They don't show you the drug addict. And I know they're not just here. They're everywhere in America right now. I saw in the last few weeks some guys walking around a little ways from here, not in this neighborhood, I know, but just out in the expressway, talking out of their mind. Out of their mind. Looks like they hadn't showered in months. Looked like they were emaciated, very thin. My heart goes out for them. They were drug addict people. They were talking to themselves. They were screaming to themselves. They were yelling. They're out on the street, out on the highway, walking around, doing all these crazy things. It's all over America. Say, well, I don't know about California. It's the same in your state. But drug traffickers never show you that. People with the liquor never show you. They show you the man that is a muscular man because of his alcohol. They show you the thrill of being at the beach and they're drinking your liquor with a whole crowd of people. They show you the fun. It's always deceptive. He'll use a deceit. He'll use doubt. He'll use deception. He uses detriments in your life. Job 2:9, his wife came to him, said, curse God and die. Sometimes, and I've seen it, and I know I'm preaching to preachers right now as well. Sometimes the very dearest people, perhaps even in your family, are the ones that cause you to have such discouragement in life. Please, as I say that, don't read into my marriage or family. I married way out of my league and I have such a wonderful family. But it's an amazing thing how a friend can cause you to be deterred and discouraged in the work of God. I've pastored here a long time. I've tried to love every staff member I've ever had, and I've had hundreds of them. I have about 75 right now, not counting student employees. Sometimes in my ministry, some who have brought me the greatest discouragement in life and a test from the devil through the night hours are those that we pay. I've had deacons, a few, not many. Oh, I tell you what, when people that you love and are dear to your heart, you've invested them, and they say, curse God and die. They don't listen. They don't respond. You plead with them. You give them advice. You give them direction. You tell them what is this. This is for the ministry, the cause of Christ. I would not do this. I would not do this. I'd be careful right here. I would not do it this way. I'd stay away from that music. I'd stay away from this philosophy. I'd be very careful. And I'm not a guy that does that very much anymore because people don't want to listen. But I'm telling you something. One of the greatest discouragements in life is people that you love that don't respond, but they become a detriment. I find the fourth thing that the devil does, he creates darkness. Jesus is light, but 1 John chapter number 1, verse 5 through 6 speaks about light and darkness. Jesus is light, Satan is darkness, and he brings death, and it brings hopelessness to you. I think of number 5, what he does, he brings debate. Hey, use debate in your life. That's what so much of the internet is right now. Everybody has an opinion. People begin to debate. My Bible says, you may jot it down, 1 Timothy 1:4, 1 Timothy 6:4, 2 Timothy 2:23, Titus chapter number 3, verse number 9, that you're to beware of people that follow after endless genealogies that minister or that produce questions. I find we are living in a day where people are using questions. Why is it that you have to act that way? Why is it you have to dress that way? Why is it that you have to have Sunday night? Why is it you have to have Wednesday night? Why is it that you have to have Sunday school? Why is it that you do these things? Why is it that you want boys and girls to keep themselves pure before they get married? Why is it that we cannot have dresses that are half made when you have a wedding dress? And the poor girl can't afford from here on up. Why is it that we have to be so straight-laced? Why is it that you have to preach so hard? Why is it that you watch that crowd? The devil will use that, but he also uses it the heart of the person that's trying to stand for right. The mother, the father, the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, a staff member, a deacon. He'll always use debate. Number 6. Satan will use his devices, decisions, poor decisions that we make, poor decisions with money. My Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, they that will be rich fall into a snare or a trap. The devil sets that trap. You go after money, people will ask me. They don't ask you more because they know the answer. I got this better job. What do you think? I have to move to Timbuktu. What do you think? It's more money. What would you think if I came to this church and said, by the way, I love you. God called me here, but I got a church that's got more money and more benefits. See you later. It's no different. Don't go chasing after money. Be content enough with what you have. But I already have a tent or a cottage. Why should I care? Well, I tell you why. They're building a palace for me over there. I've had more people, even during COVID, say to me, Pastor, we're moving. When? This is our last service. I've had it right here. I said, this is your last service? Where are you moving to? They said, such and such, such and such, such and such, such and such, such and such city. I said, where are you going to church? He said, we came here to ask you, do you know of a good one? Is that how you take a job, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not saying you have to stay here, but you move to another area. The most primary thing that you need to find is there a church as good or better than this one? If not, I don't care how much they're going to pay you. He will create poor decisions. That's what Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, the strange woman. But we make a poor decision, and it's like a sword that goes into the liver and it kills a person. It's a wound and dishonor that you never get away with. My Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, regarding the pastor, verse number 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and into the snare of the devil. I've witnessed it in all these almost 50 years in the ministry. I've witnessed men get trapped by money. It bothers me. I'm not advocating this. Deacons, you can take away 5%, 10%, 20%, 50% of my salary, and I'd never come and bother you and question you. If that's what you think is the right, take it away, because I tell you what, God is my source. He has happened to use this church, but I am not going to follow money. I refuse to follow money. I reject the notion of money. I'm not going to lay up for myself treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. I don't want to have a lot of money laying around. I want to hold that with a loose hand. I want God to use my wife and I as a channel to invest it in the work of God. A dear, great American preacher 40 years ago said to me, Brother Jack, I'm in my 40s. The way it's going, by the time he was a great flaming preacher, preached all over the country, he said, by the time I'm 50, I will be a multimillionaire. By the time he turned 50, he was in a crazy house. They that will be rich. If you're going into ministry because you're going to have a life of ease, a life of money and rolling and going and going, you're a foolish man, because money is not why you go in the ministry. I find number 7, there are defactors, people that detract you. Job had 3 friends. They spent the entire year, 1 year of their life, attacking him. I don't understand the internet. I don't know how to use it. But I always know when people are saying things because people around here tell me it. I don't know why pastors think they know how to pastor the next guy's church. I don't know how to pastor your church. I have enough to say grace over right here. You say, well, you preach about, we don't do Sunday school anymore. Hey, I'm going to state what we believe around here. Sure, I'm going to do that. We believe in soul winning. I don't want just connection groups. I don't want just outreach. I want soul winning. But by the way, I preach it for my people. You're having to listen. If you don't like it, you don't have to go attack. Don't do Sunday school if you think it works. Don't do Easter Sunday night if you don't want to do it. Don't do football night when it's football night. Don't do those things if you don't want to. You don't answer to me, but you don't have to go on the attack. I'm trying to train my people, this church right here. This church just happens to allow us to broadcast to the world, and one day they're going to take us down, and so it'll be back to you and me. I'm just telling you this, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the friends that you believe are your friends that are the closest to you are going to wind up putting temptation and trial, sorrow in your life, and they're going to attack. Next, he'll use despair. Job 3:3, let the day perish in which I was born. Let the day perish. I'm thinking right now, it comes to my attention in chapter number 19. Job said this, "He hath fenced up my way, I cannot pass. He hath set me in darkness in my paths. He stripped me of my glory. He hath taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side. I am gone. He hath put my brethren far from me. He hath, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinfolk, my relatives have failed. Their familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house, my maids, count me as a stranger. I called my servant and he gave me no answer. My breath was strange to my wife. Yea, my children despised me. I rose up and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me. And they whom I have loved have turned against me." But by the way, he does say in that same chapter, "But I know my Redeemer liveth." Let me hasten and be done. He'll use destruction. Job chapter 2, verse number 6 through 8, his health broke. It's a dangerous moment when your health breaks. When you don't feel well and the devil has touched you. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And that thorn in the flesh was with him. He'll use number 10, disasters. Job had conflict in every side of his life, his marriage, his family, his health, his possessions, his respect, his servants. Number 11, he'll use discouragement. Satan tries to tempt us and discourage us and wrap us up in ourselves, which is called pride. Where did he get that? Isaiah 14, "I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself." And I find that Satan traps us when we get discouragement because we think life is about me. Nobody has it as hard as I have it. I'm full of trials and sorrows and difficulties of life. You know how much rent costs? You know how much food costs? You know how much all this costs? Nobody has it like me. Number 12, dissatisfaction. I want you to chart yourself this week. How many times in a conversation do you become negative? Negativity is not from God, it's from Satan. How many times will you start to talk against COVID, against what God is doing, against some other Christian? The conversation so often becomes negative. When God created me to be praising the Lord, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let me close. I cannot be ignorant of his devices. But though we talk about the devil, in closing, I want to remind you about the Heavenly Father. 1 John 4:4:1, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world." I'm a child of the King. I live on the winning side. I want to remind you of Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things. Get thee behind me, Satan." War against him. He's our opponent. That's why we take on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 5, that we might be able to stand in that evil day when he wars against you. I find thirdly that great peace have they that love thy law. When I have the absence of peace, I need to get in the word of God. I need to know my security. Number 4, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Sometimes it's the night hours. Sometimes it's been in my study. Sometimes it's been when I've been all alone. When I've been trying to pray and meet with God, that old devil comes and he wars against my soul. And I tell you what, I have to claim God Almighty. He's stronger than the old wicked one. The wicked one was already defeated. He thought he won. He thought he won. Where eventually he saw that Jesus was on that cross and he died. It's over. But guess what? Up from the grave, he arose. We serve a victorious God. I remind number 5, 1 Corinthians 15:58. "But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I remind you what Paul said in Romans, how he's tested on every time, every side. But he said, "But who shall separate me from the love of Christ? to height or depth or breadth or any other creature. Nothing's going to separate me. I am thine, oh Lord, I'm his. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my vein. And then I have to remember the fact I'm secure. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it speaks about, here I am, and I'm in the hand of my loving Savior. But then my loving Savior is in the hand of the Father. And if I'm going to lose my salvation, I have to get rid of the Father and get rid of the Son. And guess what? They're stronger than me. And if I have to live in depression, defeat, I have to kick God the Father out, and I have to kick the Holy Spirit who lives within me and Jesus Christ, his Son. But they are stronger than I am. I'll tell you that right now. I have to remind myself, number 8, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. I have to remind myself the verse before that, resist the devil, James 4:7, and he will flee. He will flee. He'll be a defeated foe. Once again, I face Satan this morning. Satan battles us all the day long. I have to remember, delight thyself in the Lord. I have to sing about the Lord Jesus. I have to speak of my blessed Redeemer. I have to ponder who he is. I think of his attributes. I think of his grace. I think of his mercy. I think of how that he'll live. He'll provide by faith. And I think of Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. I don't have to battle this alone. I do battle him. But I find that every time in the Bible when a man of God faced Satan, God was almost every time, you'll see it, getting him ready for the biggest victories. The biggest victories that he was going to win. And I wonder, as Satan battles you and as he battles me, what kind of great victories that are yet ahead. Brother Galen Bridgman sent me a text this afternoon, and I saw it tonight in my office this afternoon in my study. It's the Hollywood Bowl, Easter Sunday, 1920s. The Hollywood Bowl was a great region in that Hollywood area, and it was just filled with thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people. On Easter Sunday. I believe God can do that again. I believe we can look at COVID, at God brought Christians to their knees. God purified the church. God cleansed the church. God separated the sheep from the goats in the COVID time. And every pastor I know will say this, our attendance is way down. But it seems like God is doing greater things than we've ever experienced before. And somehow the bills are being paid and God's doing all that. The same is true here. I'll tell you what, God has been so good to us. So yes, he'll try to discourage you. He'll try to have you despair. He'll try to cause you to have doubt. He'll try to cause you to have fear. He'll try to have people that you love so much turn their back on you and break your heart. And your heart is so broken, you think, I can't go on anymore. But oh, I tell you what, when I think that I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he's living, and I know I'm his child. And I know nothing ever comes in my life without him seeing it. I think God sees me when I war against that enemy, the devil. I think God sees that. And it says, there's my boy. He's in battle right now. He has the armor of God. But oh, how the old devil, the wicked one, begins to attack. But I'm so thankful that he's been the victor again.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.